The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Well, over the weekend, I became aware, as I'm sure many of you did, of schools getting in touch with parents pleading that they and their children should not be making any efforts to get in touch with the school principal or with teachers of individual subjects about the predicted marking for the Leaving Cert. So will various parents and pupils try and lobby, try and twist the arm of their teacher to get a better grade than they fear they might otherwise get if they just keep quiet? We have two guests with us. John McGowan, you're General Secretary of the Teachers Union of Ireland. Have you become aware of pupils and their parents trying this on?
Yes, in some instances, Matt, that has occurred, though I have to immediately follow that by saying that the great, great majority of students and parents simply haven't and won't engage in any effort to influence the estimated marks. Influencing the estimated marks is, or attempting to do so, is canvassing. And canvassing is simply inappropriate, something that can't be tolerated in the circumstances of a high-stakes examination, and something that all teachers will decline to get involved in. So we have been in discussion with the department and with the other parties to ensure that a protocol is put in place that will make it abundantly clear that attempts to influence will not work. And I think that's the most important thing. They will not work. And they will, where they occur, be a matter of record.
Yeah, but is that going to be sufficient punishment and sufficient deterrent, do you think? A matter of record, what will that mean?
Well, I suppose, first and foremost, there is no intention here to punish students. The intention here is to ensure, as far as humanly possible, that every student gets an estimated mark and from that, a calculated grade that he or she deserves in the subject. And if you boost the chances of one inappropriately, by definition, you adversely affect the chances of others. So we are committed to fairness, we're committed to the students, and we're committed to all of the students, not just to some of them. So we are hoping that the deterrent of being exposed as somebody who has attempted to influence, improperly to influence outcomes, will be sufficient.
Will that be a public register of some kind, that it will become available on a website or some way?
Well, to be truthful, I don't know the answer to that. What I do know is that we are determined that there will be a record, and I would take it, therefore, a record that will eventually be open to release into the public domain. But to be entirely fair to the huge majority of people out there and to the huge majority of students out there, they have not attempted, and we have no intimation or reason to believe that they will attempt to influence the outcomes other than through the work that they have already done. So this is to dissuade the minority who may be tempted to overstep the mark.
Arthur Godsell, you're a former headmaster of St Andrew's College in Booterstown in Dublin. You're director of Godsell Education. What do you think should schools and teachers do in the face of any such efforts?
In the face of any such efforts to open up the schools, or in the face of efforts to control the lobbying?
Any efforts to lobby them?
Well, I agree with your previous speaker entirely. I mean, the vast majority of teachers are highly professional. Certainly in my many years in education, teachers are very professional, and I don't believe it's going to be a problem. Also, they have an appeal process as well in place for any results. And also, it's not just one teacher. They have anonymized the teachers by the guidelines they put forward, which involves not just one teacher, it involves the school. It's a school report, it's not a teacher report. And therefore, one individual teacher, whilst it has an input into it, the team of teachers and also the whole school results profile in that subject area has been taken into consideration. And then the whole national issue has been taken into consideration as well. So it's been highly anonymized. So I don't foresee huge problems in this area. And I think it's a very sensible solution to a very difficult situation that's arisen. And certain unions have come on board with some reservations. I think it's an excellent outcome for the poor and fortunate students who didn't know what was happening up to very recently.
Sorry, Arthur, how do you say it highly anonymised? Doesn't every every student know who their teacher is, who's marking them in an individual particular subject.
Yeah.
So how is it anonymized then?
It's anonymized in the sense that that's not the only input. The input is from the department within the schools. It's also the principal involved as well. So it's not just the individual teachers. The guidelines are quite clear that it can take the information is taken over a number of performance indicators. And whilst certainly, the teacher will be the main person involved in that, there are plenty of checks and balances in it, certainly in the guidelines that I've read. So it's not as easy for an individual teacher to give one mark, and that is the mark, because it can be changed and modified. And that's a critical and important aspect of the process. And I think that will have a great deal of solace for teachers.
I just want to move forward, though, Arthur, into next year, starting in September, because if the schools can't facilitate Leaving Cert exams in July and August because of social distancing requirements, how are the schools going to get back going in September?
Well, first of all, everything that we try to do, or the government's trying to do, and the department's trying to do, is conditional on the continued progress in reducing the incidence of the virus. So once the virus continues to retreat, there's opportunities then, as we can see from the roadmap laid out by the government. But the first thing will be that there are going to be less numbers in school. They can't have the same numbers in school with children crowding the corridors, which means that I presume, and I'm only presuming this, that there will be maybe sort of times in the day when certain classes are in and then certain classes aren't in. And what's happening at the moment is 100% online learning. Whereas when you have children back in the school again, where they are actually in the classroom, even though they're much reduced in smaller numbers in the classrooms, you will be able to interact with the children physically and in place. But also, when they go home, then the online is much easier. Teachers at the moment are doing maybe twice the amount of work they were doing beforehand in terms of dealing with individual children. But now, hopefully, we can get back to children going back to school, and it's called blended learning, and it's very, very popular and very, very, it's very commonplace actually in third level institutions. But it's more difficult, obviously, with second level students to involve a complete 100% online learning environment, whereas it's easier if you have a blended learning environment for them, where at least they've got contact with their students and their colleagues and also their teachers. But it'll be a very different normality for schools, without question.
John McGowan of the TUI, because it has been pointed out that many schools simply can't facilitate a full class in a classroom. They're going to have to be spread out over a number of classes at any time, therefore having all sorts of capacity issues for the school. Even things like corridors and whatever may not be wide enough to allow for people to pass each other in social distancing. But how much of a problem is this going to cause, particularly for, say, first years coming in next September into secondary school, a big transition from national school, a primary school, and then having to go into this environment where they might only be there a couple of days a week? And how difficult is it going to be for the fifth-year students who have already been out for the last few months, who now go into their Leaving Cert year and find they're going to be required to do it in a way completely different to any other previous year?
Well, if I take that in reverse order, Matt, there is a very significant concern already among the teaching staff, schools and school management in relation to fifth years, because they have had a tough time of it so far. And it does look, if only by virtue of the fact that social distancing is still likely to be required, that there will be a, shall we say, an atypical return to school whenever that occurs, but hopefully sooner rather than later. Martha has, I think, mentioned that we will probably be perforce in a situation where we are using a blend of online and on-site learning. That would be better, quite frankly, than 100% online learning, which is which does not facilitate all students, and in fact, which leaves an awful lot of students without the required access. That one would desire. As to first years, again, you are entirely right. It's a difficult transition at the best of times. They're moving from one trusted adult that they see every day to a whole plethora of adults, I suppose, in whom they have to build up trust over time. But we have to be guided in this. We have absolutely no option. We have to be guided both in practical terms and indeed in moral and ethical terms by the need to ensure as far as we possibly can the safety of each and every student who comes to us. And we are very conscious in that regard that we will always have a cohort of students coming in who are themselves compromised in terms of their own health or compromised by virtue of the fact that family members of theirs may have fallen ill. So the truth of the matter is that nobody can paint a clear picture for you at the moment. But I think what we and others can say is that we are engaging already with the department and the department with us to ensure that, first of all, return can take place as soon as possible and that it can take place as safely as possible. There are real challenges. Our schools were not built with social distancing in mind. In fact, our schools were built rather ungenerously in terms of the footprint that they occupy. And there are all sorts of issues, as you mentioned, in terms of congregation points, both within the school and outside the school.
And Arthur Godsell, there is also another issue, which is so important for many children in secondary school in particular. It's the sports that they might do in the hours after the schoolwork is finished. It's if they get involved in drama or they get involved in music or any other extracurricular activities. How is that going to be accommodated?
Well, it's certainly not going to be accommodated easily. And that's something that has to take its time. As John was saying there are definite challenges. But you know what I find is really good is that the whole education sort of group in the country has come together on this one, and that's a really very positive development. They're all together to try to ensure that students get an education both online and in school and are looked after, and whatever has to happen I think will happen. And that to my mind is a very, very positive development. Well, we're all together in the one thing. But you're right in saying that certain sports will not be possible, and they've outlined that certain individual sports can be, like tennis and golf, and to some extent the less contact sports can be accommodated. And maybe schools may have to change their programs a little bit to ensure that students do get exercise within a competitive environment, but at the same time not in a contact sport. And that may happen as well. But you're right in saying it's going to be a challenge. But I think sport is not necessarily out, but certain sports will be.
And I think very few schools have access to individual sports like tennis and golf. Anyway, thank you very much, Arthur Godsell, former headmaster of St Andrew's College in Booterstown in Dublin, and John McGahan, who is General Secretary of the Teachers Union of Ireland.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.